It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hello there, Daniel.
Hello, Mark.
Saw you drive in your beautiful little red sports car today.
Praying that the weather just continues.
That was
Lord.
Convertible, beautiful car. Hey, you want to have people have beautiful marriages. You help people with marriage counseling, all kinds of counseling. We've been into a series called The Essentials of a Successful Marriage. We're up to part four this week. We're going to be able to wrap this series up, do you think?
Well, you can talk about marriage forever, but we'll try to wrap this up and move on to some other aspects of marriage, too. But this is a great series, and I think it's just been really pertinent information from based on what I hear in marriage counseling so often and personal experience too. So it's been good information.
Well, review for us a little bit where some foundations we've talked about.
Yeah, we kind of wrapped up from last time talking about commitment to change, because you have to really be committed to change in order to make a marriage
yourself, but not change the other person.
Right. Yeah. You know, that's when we talk about change, people agree as long as it means the other person. And they usually come with a list of things that need to be changed. But you have to be committed to change yourself. I was just reading, I always have this kind of a little bee in my bonnet about why God created male and female. One of these days I'm going to write something on that. But and God says in Genesis 1, let us make a human, it's kind of the interplay of plural and singular here, where God says, let us, plural, make a human, singular, in our, plural, image, singular, and let them, plural, have dominion. So it's God being created in God's image, at least in Genesis 1 and 2, implies kind of a plurality or an intimate relationship. And so this is what marriage is about. It doesn't just belong to me. It doesn't just belong to my wife. It belongs to the body of Christ. It belongs to God as well. So, we talked about commitment to change, and we were actually talking about some of the essentials for change. Of course, it begins with vulnerability, openness, honesty. We talked about humility, empathy, understanding. And if you want to review all those, then you can look at the podcast at BibleBasedCounselor.com. BibleBasedCounselor.com. You're going to find the first three in this series. And then we're just continuing on here with grace. Takes grace. Now, I heard, and I'm sure you've heard this too, Mark, you've been around for a little while, and you know, the old thing that not greasy grace, we're not talking about greasy grace. I always thought that was a little bit curious, because grease, I thought, was a pretty good descriptor of grace, or, you know, it's divine enablement. You know, when you put grease on things that are stuck and they slide. So
there you go.
I think divine enablement is a little bit like grease. We need divine enablement. I have here, grace is required, refusing to be stubborn. We get stuck in our stubbornness, and we need to just refuse that. It is a choice. It is a choice to refuse stubbornness. We can embrace that the process of change and participate in it with joy, and we can just sometimes decide to do that. I'm just going to put on a happy face and get involved in this and be pleasing to God in it. And Romans, I think it's 12:10, where Paul talks about in honor preferring one another, preferring that other person, putting that other person first. We can get to a place in marriage where that just doesn't even sound like an attractive idea, let's say. But we need to say no to myself and say yes to that other person. After grace, I have down here patience. And I always remember the husband that said to me one time, I can be patient, but how long do I have to put up with this? So we think of patience as when I'm tapping my foot, or another thing we hear a lot is you're trying my patience. So I like to say that if that person is trying my patience, I've already lost it, because patience isn't just tapping my foot and waiting for that person to come along to my my way of seeing things or my timetable or my my agenda. But patience has to do with, you know, biblical patience has to do with thanksgiving. It's filled with hope and it's filled with thankfulness, mm-hmm. is patience.
And so, not complaining.
Not complaining, refusing mm-hmm. to complain. Mm-hmm. So easy to complain about the other person, but just simply refusing to and exemplifying faith and hope and encouragement, walking along with that person in the process. You know, a lot of these things are shame-based. Stubbornness, impatience. When I say shame-based, they have to do, of course, with an internalized message of lack of worth. And, of course, that has to do with our individual need to be valued, to have control, and to have power. And so when we always seem to be lacking those things because it's human nature to grab for those things. So when we're when God is changing us, those things are always challenged because we have to come to the place where we see our value in God and we yield control to God. I don't control things, but God's in control, and I don't have all the power and resources that I want, but God has the resources that I need. So those things, impatience and stubbornness. Then after patience, it almost sounds like once we get that solved. But of course, we're always working on these things. Communication, of course, communication is huge. And if we talk about communication, I think right back to the things that we've talked about: openness, honesty, humility, empathy, understanding, grace, patience. Because all of those things, if they're not in your heart, then when you communicate, you can't communicate those things. If it's not in your heart, it won't come out of your mouth. Mm. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Mm. And so communication, and each couple has to learn how to communicate. You know, I've said before in response to a husband or wife that says, I just can't figure out, and the other gender. So the gal will say, I just can't figure out men, or the man will say, I just don't understand women. And the good news is that I don't have to understand women, just my wife, just that one. So every marriage couple has to learn to communicate. How do I, speaking of my wife, how do I communicate with that one person in a way that we actually move forward, that we actually exchange, make a profitable exchange of not only data but of our personhood? So we have idiosyncrasies, we have quirks, we have ways of processing things. It was a discovery for my wife and I. She probably knew it long before I did, but when I came to the realization, people helped pointed it out to me. That I process while I'm speaking. And, of course, a lot of people are like that. Mm. A lot of people are verbal processors.
Mm-hmm. I am,
yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, there's an awful mm-hmm. lot of people like that. And
you don't necessarily mean everything you're saying. You're just kind of speaking out loud.
Speaking out loud. And mm-hmm. verbal processors mm-hmm. A lot of times make the mistake of thinking that the person that they're talking to has the same information. So that was one of the problems between my wife and I. And a lot of people that I talk to as a verbal processor, I had bits and pieces in my brain, and I wouldn't finish sentences, or I wouldn't explain, and I just thought that everyone I was talking to had those same bits and pieces, and they could put it together, and it was really frustrating for some people. And my wife was wise enough to figure that out and point that out. You're a verbal processor, so she processes differently. So I have to know how she processes. And I don't need the word. We don't have to go to a conference and find out how we process. I just need to understand how is it that I can get my message across to her and she understands it, and in what ways do I sometimes communicate and those don't work out well. So learning to communicate with that one other person. Some coaching can help. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying to not go to conferences. There are some sometimes when others point these things out, it's extremely helpful, and it helps us to learn some things more quickly than we would have.
Yeah, we had some coaching along these lines. They called it don't bring out the big guns.
Oh.
like the loaded phrases, the loaded accusations mm-hmm. that don't solve anything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
phrases, certain rabbit holes. Uh-huh. Just what are you trying to accomplish with this or that kind of communication? Yeah. So we just learn not to go certain places, you know. And that's you do want to sometimes, eventually, you need to talk about the elephant in the room particularly. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to always bring him up, you know, if there is a big issue.
Right.
You can get at the issue in a lot more measured way.
Yeah, and measured, I think, is a key term because in good communication, you're coding a message. And let's assume it's a very important message, but bad communication is when you miscode it. You use words that are rhetorical questions, or you use words that are meant as more as like jibes than they are actually getting the message across. Because one thing about proper communication is it requires a bit of vulnerability. To be entirely honest sometimes. Now, a lot of conversation doesn't necessarily require vulnerability. Well, I could sit here and argue that vulnerability has many shades, and you could even say to your spouse, please pass the sugar, in such a way that you open yourself up to an exchange of persons. I tell people when I'm talking, coaching on communication, you can say almost anything in such a way that you can actually feel yourself giving part of yourself to the other person. Mm. Talk about the weather. Please pass the sugar. Should we order pizza? Those kinds of things can be said in such a way that you're exchanging personhood. But then there are more difficult situations where you really have to work on your tools, words I use, tone of voice, body language, facial expression, those kinds of things to actually communicate well. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the love triad. This will be a good segue into that.
The love triad, all part of essentials of successful marriage. Our series continuing this week. I think we're going to wrap it up this week, so don't miss part two here in just a moment. If people need help with marital counseling or any other kind of counseling, how do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
The phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, and that's just simply Daniel Pryor at BibleBasedCounselor.com. People also, the offices are in Kirkland and Edmonds. I need to say that. And that's how you contact me.
A lot of Skype counseling, too.
And a lot of Skype counseling, yes.
A lot of Skype counseling because of having to have the social distancing going on. And we will be back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Where marriage is concerned, an ounce of prevention is worth a lot more than a pound of cure. Too many couples start off with misconceptions and then wait until the damage is done to seek counsel. As a marriage counselor, I help couples understand both the purpose and process of marriage, and I teach essential tools of communion. If you're married or thinking about marriage and want to get started right, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169. Hello, this is Daniel Pryor, host of the Sound Mind broadcast show here on KCIS. Right now, I'm doing a lot of Skype counseling, and this is a great way to get counseling in this time. So if that interests you, give me a call at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169, or contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor, and now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, this week looking at the successful essentials of the successful marriage, part four. And Daniel's moving into a subject he has mentioned before, but he wants to go over again what he means by the love triad.
Yeah, I have an article on this love triad. You would find the article under Trust, Forgiveness, and Communion, and that's at the website ChristianCounselorsForum.com. That's ChristianCounselorsForum.com. And I have done a number of radio shows on the love triad in the past, too. So I won't spend a lot of time on it here. I just want to kind of hit the tops because we're talking about the essentials of change and trust, forgiveness, and communion. That's the triad. And the idea behind the triad is that you can't have any one of those without having the other two. They're interdependent. In order to trust, you have to have forgiveness and communion. In order to forgive, you have to have trust and communion. In order to have communion, you have to have trust and forgiveness. And so In the article, I explain a little bit about those. I want to point out the idea of forgiveness, and we talk about forgiving and forgetting, and what that requires is a giving and receiving relationship. The two words, forgive and forget, if you take off the prefix, you have give and get, or give and receive. So the word forget actually doesn't have anything to do with my memory, not directly. So the thing to understand about that is forgiveness requires a giving of myself and receiving of the other person. So we forgive and we forget, or we forgive and we forreceive. Again, that I've done some extensive writing on that in the article at ChristianCounselorsForum.com, and that might be something to read together, husband and wife, and get a little more information on that. And then moving beyond the love triad, there's often questions about the balance of common interests and individual pursuits. So, yes, the marriage has to have a common interest and a number of common interests. That's obviously important for two people walking together and living together. At the same time, we can't rely wholly upon that spouse to meet all of my needs. So I have a couple of friends that I go out to lunch with once every couple or 3 weeks. And, you know, we talk about things that my wife doesn't particularly enjoy talking about. And we have interests that don't particularly interest our wives. If we were to curtail all of those avenues of expression and experience, we wouldn't be bringing a lot back to the relationship. So there has to be a balance of personal pursuits and personal interests along with common interests. That marriage relationship is the top priority, and I never want to leave my wife just kind of dangling in a sense while I'm off spending hours and hours during the weeks doing things that I like to do without even considering, are we spending enough time together that our relationship is truly growing and taking on some, you know, the fruit of the Spirit and ministry in the body of Christ and those things that God desires and wants out of this relationship. So that balance we need to keep an eye on. The question comes up here on my notes. What is love? I wonder who wrote that.
Wow. That's okay. A big question. What is the meaning of life?
Yeah. What is love? Because when a lot of people are in the process of working on the relationship, they could stand back and say, now, are we moving toward love, or this looks pretty clinical? We're just basically serving. Well, as Christians, we know that God is love. Now, in the secular world, there is certainly affection. But if we're talking about love, what it really is, God is love, and so love is what we have, what we experience when we're in the presence of God, when we're in the purpose and will of God. It's what we feel for that other person when we're putting that person's interest ahead of our own. If you want to be in love, we know you have to serve. Peter says in 1 Peter 4:8, it talks about loving one another deeply because love covers a multitude of sins, or we could say serving covers a multitude of faults. When you're serving another person, it's almost mentally impossible to at the same time be harboring and thinking of things about the person that you don't like. It's like trying to serve two masters. You can't serve another person without beginning to have some kind of affection toward the other person. So a lot of times people will say that, well, if I don't feel it, it won't be real. But we find in God's economy that if we begin to be obedient, then the emotions come along with that. Disappointments, misunderstandings, differences of opinions—those things don't go away. When we're committed to change, those are part of change, and we never get to the point in marriage where we're through changing. There's always, every day, an opportunity to serve, an opportunity to say no to myself and yes to my spouse. There's always room and requirement for change. And so these things we always have. There will always be disappointments. There will always be misunderstandings, and there will always be differences of opinion. You can't, I don't think you can exchange enough data to eradicate those kinds of things. Talking to a couple the other day, we were talking about communion, and I've said this before, and then sometimes when we're talking about communion, I remember it, and I say, that's a pretty profound concept, too, that when we're communing, we talk about communication, but the root of the word communion when I is in that communication. All communication isn't communion, but we want to strive for communion, not just the exchanging of data. When we're communing like that, a lot of times the data becomes secondary. So I tell couples, you don't necessarily, if I know it feels like we always have to be completely understood when we're communicating. But there are times in marriage where you realize that you don't have to be understood. A lot of the data that we want to try to exchange becomes secondary if we're communing first. Mm. In the first place, it will be easier if we're communing, that is, sharing one another and caring for one another if we're communing, then the exchange of data will typically be easier. Another thing that will happen is, I'll see that a lot of things that I think I need to say don't need to be said because we reach communion a lot of times even without sharing all the data. Hmm. A lot of times needing to be understood, perfectly understood, gets in the way of communion because you can't be completely and totally understood in all things.
But maybe understand better through time over time. Yeah.
And really the base of the understanding is just that it gets back to the love triad. You know, forgiveness, truth, and or trust, forgiveness, and communion. Those are the things that are important. Not just being completely understood, but building those things. So I guess the next question would be, well, is there a finish line? Now, I said that you're never through changing. Is there a finish line? The objective, I think, in marriage is to walk where God wants us to walk, you know, to live as God wants us to live, to fulfill His purpose on a daily basis. So I don't think there's a finish line. You don't get to the place in marriage where you are a well-oiled machine and you never have any arguments or disagreements. But it's a daily objective of just being where God wants you to be, walking as God wants you to walk, and fulfilling God's purpose, cultivating those spiritual fruits of, you know, love and joy and peace and long suffering. As Bob Mumford used to say, long suffering, gentleness. My goodness, gentleness. Sometimes it's difficult to be gentle. As a matter of fact, you could look at each one of these fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith, and to press toward any one of those requires vulnerability. To be gentle for some men, and even for some women, almost feels like you're giving away part of your power. Mm. You know, you're laying down your armor or your defense mechanisms. So the result of all of this, we won't take the time to review it, but you can because these are all on the podcast. But the results of these, what you're going to find is that conflicts are more quickly and less painfully resolved. I remember when my wife and I first started out for a number of years, it was, you know, arguing and quarreling was a daily thing. And some of these quarrels and arguments went on. The emotional fallout lasted days. And we got to the place where we could look back and I could say now, we might get into two arguments in 3 years where it goes on for a couple of minutes. I mean 60 seconds or 120 seconds because we've just learned that those things going the wrong way doesn't get you ahead. So if you exercise these things, you know, each person feels loved, fulfilled, vitalized, valued. And the couples then were pleasing to God and were functioning properly in the body of Christ.
There you go. The Essentials of Successful Marriage series. And again, you can review the first three parts at BibleBasedCounselor.com. Of course, this show will be posted there as well. People have listened to this series, Daniel, and they know that they need some counseling help. Or maybe they know somebody who's going through a struggle. How do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, the phone number that people call is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website BibleBasedCounselor.com. That's where you also find these podcasts and these shows that we've been doing, BibleBasedCounselor.com. I have an office in Edmonds and Kirkland, and as we've mentioned before, present circumstances, I do an awful lot of Skype counseling, so that's also available. Again, 425-778-6169.
Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.